quite amazing because last week, like 2 weeks ago, I learned my PowerPoint. About four weeks ago, I didn't have my notes, and it's just it's been an interesting time. But we should have it all together this morning, but no guarantees. So we're going into Psalm 8, and we're going to read it together. And it's got bits in front of it. It says, "To the choir master, according to the Gittith, a Psalm of David."
I'll move it forward.
That's fine. So we're going to read it and say, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens." You can't really like this, by the way. "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You've set your glory above the heavens." That doesn't work. It's got to be, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and infants, you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, and crowned him with glory and honour. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." Now this psalm, Psalm 8, David declares it's his. Okay, the Bible says very, very clearly David's. And Gittith, I'll just explain that for you, that's probably a harp that he got from the Philistines in Gath. Okay, random bit of information, I guess, but that's what it means. And there's also a poetic form, as with all the psalms, in here. Because it bracketed in the middle of, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." And so it puts a focus on God at the start and God at the finish. Everything else in between is bracketed in that words. It's a focus. It brings our focus on the God. That's who we're looking at. That's who we're talking about. And there's another little thing in there. It's called repetition. One at the back, one at the start, one at the end. Repetition is very, very important. My dad used to say, if God says it once, it's important. If he says it twice, it's really important. If he says it more than twice, it's really, 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 really important. So we have it twice in here. And another thing important about repetition is we start to learn these verses. He said to me, I've said it, four or five times now? "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens." I'm starting to get into my head that I know those things. That's really, really important. Because in the worst times, what you want is not to come, "I'm terrible and the world's all against me." You want to come out, "O Lord, our God, despite this, in spite of this, how majestic is your name in all the earth." And that's not just a little sentence. There's so much in it. "O Lord," bring knowledge in God, our Lord, as Lord. But it comes personal when we say "our Lord." And as Eve said this morning, we can personally even more and say, "O Lord, my Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." There's nobody who compares. He shows his glory and his majesty, his beauty. And there's no scale that we can put on that because he's so wonderful. He's glorious, all superlative words, excellent, beyond compare. You compare him to other gods who are not gods at all, and there's no comparison. Do you remember the sun and the moon, sun and the earth, from a couple of weeks ago? The sun was huge, the earth was a little dot that we couldn't see. And if it hadn't been for the arrow, we'd have thought it was a dirty mark on the screen. He's Lord of everything. And that was acknowledged in the earth by the Egyptians, who got just beaten up so Israel could come out. But all the towns, all the peoples between them, who were stopping him getting the promised land. For Balak, who had tried to get the Balaam to curse the Israelites, but had been completely unsuccessful. "O Lord, our Lord, O Lord, my Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens." You know, we've got a slight glimpse of what heaven is like. And I want you to use your imagination, because I can't control your imagination. I want you to use your imagination of what heaven may be like. Revelations 4, 2-6. And I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. And around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the throne were 24 elders, clothed in white garments, with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne became flashes of lightning, better than any rocks concert where you have a show of lights and lasers and whatever. From the throne came flashes of lightnings and rumblings and peals of thunder, but that was deafening. And before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne, not only was there a rainbow, there was, as it were, a sea of glass, like crystal. And it had reflected the lightning all around in the heavenly being, how that's reflected. And it's so glorious. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures, with full of eyes in front and behind. God's glory, in Revelation, described by John, is seen so clearly. It's more wonderful than the stars. Better than the universe. Well, if you looked at the stars at night in a place where there's not lots of light pollution, actually there's a wonderful display of what's in the heavens. But God's glory is greater than that. God's glory is brighter than that. You can only look and see how wonderful God is from those. And then if you extrapolate that further and further, make it bigger, make it into God's glory, how wonderful God's glory is. And out of that, out of babes, and the smallest and feeblest amongst us, God has established strength, or another translation is ordained praise. They can have the weakest amongst us can have strength, can do exploits. Think of Gideon, youngest son of the smallest family, of the smallest tribe. And yet he went out and defeated the Midianites. Samuel was only a little boy when he first heard God, but yet he went and led Israel for years. David himself, as we heard last week, was just a shepherd boy. You'd think there was nothing wonderful or important about him, yet because God is involved, then those who are insignificant become significant. Think about his disciples, fishermen, a tax collector, a zealot. But yet, when after Jesus had died, and was risen again, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. These people came different. And it says of Peter and John, after the miracle in the Gate Beautiful, where they raised that man up from walking, they said, when they saw, this is the scribes and Pharisees, saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived they were uneducated and common men, that's quite a put down, isn't it, uneducated common men, they were astonished, and they recognised that they had been with Jesus. The one where people recognise that we've been with Jesus, that we are with Jesus. And so all these things in the heavens are made by God's fingers. That's how he describes it. So elsewhere, he describes it that he did with his voice. We've got to understand, this is how we understood it at the time. This is actually poetical language. And God had all that in his hands. What does the sun give us? The sun and moon gives us day, there's a time in a day and a night. That's marvellous. We can't really understand that, why they stay in their orbits around us. The sun gives us enough warmth, but not too much that we're fried. But the right distance from the sun. The sun rules by day and the moon rules by night, from Genesis. And there's more we know, the more impressive, the more we know, the more wonderful it becomes, and the more we see God's hand working. Intelligent design. They're all set in place, orbits of the planets. And they look good too. And so then we come to a comparison. And David says, what is man? What is humankind? That you are mindful of him. And the son of man that you consider him. In comparison, that's the huge against the tiny. And yet he's saying, yeah, you should think enough of us, Lord. But you do. But there is something really important about us that you've put in place, that you love us. So there's a hierarchy of God, heavenly beings, man, and animals, and other creatures below. That's always God saying in this psalm. There's that hierarchy. And we've been set, depending on the translation, some say it's God, some say it's heavenly beings. I tend towards the heavenly beings, that we're a little lower than the angels. And if we read in Hebrews, it says the same thing, that we're actually a little lower than the angels, not a little lower than God. But there's a difference between us and the angels. Because when the angels fall, they stay fallen. They stay fallen. There's no redemption for the angels, yet for us as human beings, there's redemption, there's a way of salvation. So we're crowned with glory and honour. There's a song that goes, "Holy, holy, holy is what the angels sing, and I expect to help them make the chords of heaven ring. But when I sing redemption story, they will fold their wings." Well, angels never felt the joy that our salvation brings. It's also given us authority over everything else, the animals, the birds, the fish, and the creeping creatures. And that comes right back from the start. It's not something the Christians have got necessarily, but right from the start, from the time of Noah. Noah is commanded in Genesis 9, 1-3. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and every bird of the heavens, upon everything that creeps on the ground and on the fish of the sea. Into your hand they are delivered. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. As I gave you the green parts, plants, I'll give you everything." So there, God is putting man higher above the animals, but with a real responsibility to own them, also to look after them. So we're higher than those. There's a difference. We have different makeup. We're not animals. Okay, we cannot be animals because we're put above them. We've got dominion over them. There's more to us. There's more to us than there are to animals. And God has put us in that position. Despite the poor comparison between us and God, I've got to tell you now, He actually really, really cares for you. He cares for you. You have a distinct and specific difference between you and the animals. You see, God had a plan from the start. And it's embodied in this psalm. He wanted us to choose to worship Him. He created us to choose to worship Him. Angels have no choice except if He destroys them completely if they go against Him. And right from the word go, right from Genesis, God had a plan that showed He cared for us and loved us. And this whole psalm has Jesus in it. It puts Him as in the place as the Son of God, as God compared with the Father and the Holy Spirit. But He didn't come as a conquering hero, did He? Did He come as a conquering hero? No, He came as a Savior, as a baby, in a lonely place. He was vulnerable. But yet at 12, He was teaching the scribes. He had words that said, "Let little children come to me and forbid them not." And then Jesus refers to this psalm in the triumphant entry. This is where it matches in, because we're actually talking about Jesus and what He did. In Matthew 21, verse 14, "And the blind and the lame came to Him in the temple, and He healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that He did, and the children crying out in the temple, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they're indignant. And they said to Him, 'Do you hear what these are saying?' And Jesus said to them, 'Have you never read, out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise?'" It's familiar from Psalm 8, isn't it? "And leaving them, went to the city of Bethany and lodged there." I don't know about you, but how often have children surprised us with their wisdom, with their faith, and with their trust in God? "Out of the mouth of babes and infants you have ordained praise." And Jesus is there somewhere else as well. Naomi took us into Hebrews and stole most of my next bit. But Hebrews 2, you see, because it wasn't to angels that God subjected the worlds to come, of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere, Psalm 8, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honour, putting everything in subjection under his feet. And so God, they've got its subjection now. It's coming now. Only done Jesus, everything was put in subjection, not just nature. Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. Lots of things are outside our control, but not outside Jesus' control. That's why we know this is talking about Jesus. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him, but when we see him, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, quoted in Psalm 8, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honour because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. You see, what this psalm is saying is not only does God care for us, but that Jesus came, was made like us, and came as a baby. Exactly the same thing said about Jesus, said about us in Psalm 8, it said in Hebrews 2, that he left his majesty in heaven, he was incarnated, he became Emmanuel, God with us. He became human, went through the same stuff we do. I mean, what God does that, what God cares so much that he goes through the same stuff that we do. He was crowned with glory and honour. He was obedient, he went willingly and designedly to the cross and died for us. He defeated hell and death, he tasted death for us, he rose again, and then he's exalted by the Father. He's moved back into that place where he is at God's level. O Lord, my Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And God has put everything under his dominion. You find that in Psalm 8, in Hebrews 2, and also in Colossians 1. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father. But he didn't do it for himself. He did it for me, and he did it for you. He did it for us. Identified with us, became human, was tempted in every way like we are, without sin. And he defeated our greatest enemies, sin and death. And he gave us the way to salvation. And if we go through and accept his salvation and repent of our sins, we can truly say with David, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. So what shall we do with this? You see, earlier in Hebrews, in that same chapter, it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? To understand that God cares for us so much, cares for each one of us, that he sent his son to die for us. And then that is passed on to us. We have a job to do as Christians, as members of God's family. Do we care for others in the way that God has clearly demonstrated us to do? That we care for them so much. That we care for them so much we want them to know about Jesus. How can we not know we have so much? Declare with the heavens, the sun, the moon and the stars. How can we not declare the wonder and the glory of God? And point people to Jesus, our Saviour and our Lord. Oh, that we would. Oh, that we would. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You are glorious, you are wonderful, you are King of Kings and you are Lord of Lords, and you've done so much for us, Lord. As we celebrated and looked at this morning, you died in our place and gave us eternal life. We thank you, Lord, for that, Lord. We pray, Lord, you inspire us to take hold of what we've been given and pass it on to others, Lord. Lord, people might see that you are in us, that we've met with Jesus, that we know you as a friend and as a guide. Lord, we pray that you will then set us free to speak your word and to let our friends and neighbours and relatives know that we know you and we love you. Lord, we pray that anybody here this morning that doesn't know that you would indeed work on their lives, Lord. Holy Spirit, come and speak to them, set them free, we pray. And may we see salvation in your house because you are glorious. You are wonderful. You are marvellous. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Amen.
Amen. Amen.